Good morning. In case you didn't hear yet, I'm assuming you probably did, but no service tonight, and then Brother William, Lord willing, will bring the message for us Wednesday night. Invite your attention this morning to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, look with me at verse 16. Mark 1:16. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets, and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the ship, with the hired servants, and went after him. This is one of my favorite passages of scripture, and it's recorded three times in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I just want to ask you, does this, what we just read about, a few short verses here, what just happened there, does that astonish you like it does me? Honestly. Can we see God's infinite goodness here in what happened? I pray we can. When I look at this, I see a glorious day of divine revelation. What we just read is salvation come to four men. What we just read. They were out fishing. That was their life. That's what they did, okay? They were out fishing when God incarnate showed up to them. God in human flesh came to where they were. And consider briefly what he didn't say. He didn't say, You're some wretched fisherman, you're going to hell. That's not what he said. He didn't say, I came here to condemn you. That's not what he said. He came here to call them to himself in love, in mercy, in grace. Call them out of their darkness into his light, marvelous light. Look at what he said there in verse 17. He said unto them, Come ye after me. In Matthew's account, He saith unto them, Follow me. And you know what they did? Look at verse 18. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. He went on. That was Peter, Simon Peter and Andrew, his brother. Then in verse 20, two more men, James and John, brethren. Look at verse 20. And straightway he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants. And they went after him. The father and the hired servants, they were there too. But they didn't go. They didn't follow him. They didn't come after him because the Lord didn't call them. The four men whom the Lord called, they followed him. And I rejoice to tell you that. Straightway, immediately, as soon as the command went forth, follow me, dropped everything. And they followed him. Where did they go? Wherever he went. That's where they went. Wherever he went. Now, here's what just captivates me, thinking about this. Why did they follow him? Doesn't it seem like kind of a strange encounter to you, just reading it? He came to them, they're here fishing, follow me. Off they go, leaving their life behind. Is that not strange? Did they, in the spur of the moment, find some inner zeal and decide to get religious? They just decide to follow Jesus as this whole world is doing, supposedly, another Jesus, which is not another. No. Is this something they've been thinking about for a while? Maybe we should quit fishing. Maybe we should follow God. No. No. They followed him, and here's why. Because the Lord called them. Simple as that. He called them. Now, we know from Luke's account, which I brought a message from not too long ago, we know from Luke's account that the Lord revealed himself in his sovereign power to these men when they were done fishing, it says, and they were about to pack up and go home washing their nets, and the Lord told Peter, let's go out. And he told them, cast your net, and it's like they caught all the fish in the sea. Filled two boats that they began to sink. He revealed his power to them. And then Peter said, depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. He revealed himself to them in revealing his power, his Godhead to them. The Lord came to these men. He taught them. It said he taught them out of the ship. There were some people desiring to hear him. He performed a miracle for them. I just mentioned it, catching all those fish. But the real miracle he performed for them was that he called them. He called them. I pray God would teach us what that means. He called them. This calling wasn't a suggestion. Wasn't an invitation. Well, I think you might should. No. Here's what this calling was. It was a holy, irresistible, effectual command. And I want to make sure I say this. They didn't have a choice to not follow him. You know, in Joshua, it's a verse that gets quoted a lot. Choose ye this day which God you shall serve. If you read it in the context, the only choice they're choosing between is false gods. Christ's people follow him. And it's his choice that we do. We chose to follow all these false gods. I'll tell you which God I chose to follow. Me. That's which God I in my flesh chose to follow, was me, until God spoke to me and said, follow me, and now I follow him. It's his work. It's his calling by which his people follow him. It's God's doing. Right here in this text, the Lord came to these four men, and he gave them a whole new want to. He gave them a whole new heart, a whole new mind, a whole new spirit that wanted one thing, and that was to follow him, to believe on him, to trust him. Where were they going? They were leaving their home. Who was going to provide for them? He was. Well, he didn't have a place to lay his head. Yes, but that's God Almighty. And he's able to provide for us. He made them willing to forsake everything in an instant, in a moment. They just like that, dropped everything and they went to be with him. You see why I say this is miraculous to me? This is astonishing to me. It's making all these things we heard last weekend come back to mind, how that his people will follow him. He will have them. Never man spake like this man. When he said, follow me, oh, how could we not? Now, that's my intro. I want to focus on what we're told in verse 17. Look at it again. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. They were still going to be fishermen. They just weren't going to be fishing for fish anymore. They were going to be fishing for men. And notice how the Lord worded this. He said, I will make you. Oh, you can't say that. Oh, we better. I will make you to become fishers of men. He will make us follow him, and he will make his fishers of men to be fishers of men. It's something he does. Now, I thought of a verse that we just looked at Wednesday night in the message, Psalm 100, verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Not only did our Lord call these men out of their darkness to believe on him and follow him, he called them to be fishers of men. He called them to be apostles, men sent with a message from God. That's who he was, God. He's God. They were sent with a message from God. God did this for these men. He called them to it, and they were ready and willing to go. Now, the message, I just titled the message, Fishers of Men. I just want to look at this for a few minutes. And I must say this when dealing with this subject. Not every preacher, fisher of men, gospel preacher, not every preacher is a true gospel preacher. And again, I could show you plenty of scriptures here. The ones that really jump out to me more than any are found in Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 23. But I want to read you this verse, Jeremiah 23, 21. Our Lord said, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I've not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. People are all over this world speaking supposedly in the name of Jesus, in the name of God, whom God has never spoken to. Claiming to know God, whom God says, I never knew you. Depart from me. This could not be more serious. And I feel like a fool standing up here talking about this. But on the authority of God's word, I'm saying it. From the verse I just quoted to you, he said, I didn't send them. I've not spoken to them, yet they're out prophesying, preaching. If God has not spoken to me, then I have no business standing up here speaking on behalf of him whatsoever. That's why it's a fearful thing to do this. Understanding that. Now, let me acknowledge this too. If I, or you, or anybody, is going to be a fisher of men, then God must make us to be that. We don't make ourselves to be that. We must be made of God, must be called of God, sent of God with his message. When it comes to false preachers and false preaching, it's full of deceit. Much like fishing, you get attractive hooks, baits, lures, and you throw them out there, and oh, you just, those fish are just jumping to get on your line, and you're so happy. You tricked them. You got them. That's exactly what false religion is. That's exactly what false preachers do. Well, let's find some tactics here. Let's make this thing attractive on the outside and get masses of people to follow us and give us their money. And, oh, we're all just living for God. We're having a grand old time. That's what false religion is all about. I see it. I'm thankful not to be wrapped up in it. I can tell you that. What our brother just read in 1 Corinthians about all these things that are impressive to men and the wisdom of the world. And after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. These things that impress people in the name of religion, in the name of God. And God said it's not of God, not of him. Deceit. You know, I mentioned Matthew 7. There in verse 13 and 14, he talks about a straight, narrow way and then a broad, wide way. And he said that broad, wide way is the way of destruction. And many there be which are going in thereat. And he said that straight, narrow way, which is Christ, few there be that find it. I'm telling you. These four men found the straight and narrow way because the straight and narrow way came to them and called them. Otherwise, they'd have been going that broad way that everybody else is going, to destruction. And I don't want that for us. To the world, these false preachers, they're worthy. They're qualified. However much money they have, well, they deserve it. They're doing God's work. It's just not so. God's apostles, they didn't walk around with all these fancy things. They had neither purse nor scrip, and they simply trusted the Lord to provide for them. And he did. He always does. Something that I was told once was, when you hear a message preached, ask yourself this question, who gets the glory? When the gospel is preached, when a true gospel preacher, a true fisher of men stands and declares God's word, who's getting the glory in it? If I'm getting any of the glory, then it's not of him. He must get all the glory. All of it. Every single preacher of God knows this, that we're a bunch of nobodies, that we're not worthy to do this. We're not qualified to partake in the things of God at all, to hear them, to believe them, to stand and declare them. We're not worthy. We're not, and we know that. We don't wonder, do we? We know it. We know we couldn't be any more unworthy than we are. So unworthy. You just consider briefly these four men, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Were they worthy for this? Were they qualified to go preach the glory of God, the kingdom of God? Were they? Honestly, they were fishermen. Vile, wretched men. That's what they were. And yet God called them and sent them with his message. You know, I hear it said sometimes that, well, God foreknew, he saw in the portals of time who would believe on him and who would give their life to him. And did he choose these men because he saw something in them? I hope by the time this message is over, if you think so, that God's word will show us, no, Not at all. Not at all. Everything God does for us is in spite of us. Everything. I don't care what it is. Everything. You had a bad day? Well, I deserve much worse. I feel burdened? Well, I really deserve a whole lot worse than my state is, honestly. The Lord called these men because of this. What he told Jeremiah. He said, before I formed thee in the belly, before I formed thee in your mother's belly, in your mother's womb, I knew you. I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. Before Peter, Andrew, James, and John were ever in their mother's womb, they had been called and ordained of God from eternity to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And then in time, he came to them and called them and revealed himself to them and sent them with that responsibility, with that burden. God chose. We don't choose this. He chose, and again, our brother read it, the foolishness of preaching. Any of you who've stood here and done this, don't you just feel like a fool up here? Honestly. And yet God chose this seemingly foolish means, foolish to us, foolish that he would reveal his glory through a sinful vessel like myself, the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. 1 Corinthians 1:21. God chose that. Man. It never ceases to amaze me. Now, Christ saved us by his work on the cross. He saved us in his effectual redemption by the pouring out of his blood and the breaking of his holy, perfect body. Yet God uses the preaching of his word to reveal that to us, to reveal Christ in us, and give us faith to believe on him and him alone. And you know why he uses foolish means and weak, sinful, base, despised men like you and me? Here's why, and it tells us this in 1 Corinthians 1, that no flesh should glory in his presence, and that he that glorieth may glory in the Lord. That we may not glory, there's so much glory amongst the world, amongst religion, so much glory in each other, so much glory in preachers, and a man has a Bible, and you, oh, look out. A man says, I'm a preacher. Firm handshake. This should make us tremble. Just the thought of coming here and worshiping him should break us, honestly. When we understand what it is we're doing, whose word it is we're looking at. It's not my word. It's God's word. God Almighty. Well, we're just going to church. We're here to worship him. We're here to speak in his name. We're here to give him all the glory and praise for everything. And I pray that he might get the glory and praise in everything that's done here today and every day, every time. Turn with me over to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Who is sufficient to enter into the things of God? And I'm not just talking about preaching, though it seems that's what he's talking about here. That God would reveal anything to us. Is that not amazing to you? That he would reveal his person, his holiness, his character, and his willingness and ability to save sinners like us. Who's sufficient for these things? I'm not. Paul wasn't. None of us are. No man is. We're trusting him and him alone to save us and do for us what we can't do for ourselves and what standing here we can't do for each other. We're relying on him. On him alone. Look over at chapter 3 right here, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 5. Paul said, not that we're sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. We are nothing. Paul used to be a high and mighty man. He rode a high horse. And then he became so low, he couldn't get any lower. Less than the least of all saints, the chief of sinners, nothing. Nothing. But he had everything. He had some sufficiency. Not in himself, but in Christ. He had all sufficiency of God in Christ. Christ is all. 1 Corinthians 1. Christ has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Whatever it is I need, Christ is it. He's all. Christ is all. And in all his people. All my hope is in him. The glorious God and Savior that he is, and the wondrous works that he accomplished for sinners like me, obtained eternal redemption for me, put away my sin by the sacrifice of himself. As far as the east is from the west, so far he's removed my transgressions from me, made me to be a new creature in him. He's done it all. Now quickly, this matter of fishing for men, how do we do it? How do we do it? Turn to Luke's account of what we were looking at in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 4. This is the account of our text where the Lord came and called these men. Luke 5, 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Now, he was talking about fishing, okay? He'd fished all night and caught nothing. But I see a picture here to preaching. We can toil all day and night. We can study day and night and then get up here a few times a week and preach the word. But we can take nothing. You understand what I'm saying? It's not up to us to take. God has called his men to the work. But God must bless it. He must do the fishing, if you will. Okay? We do this acknowledging we're so unable. No ability in here to bless the word. I could impress you, maybe, I doubt it. But maybe I could impress somebody. I can't impress God. What a fool would think such a thing, that we could impress God. We confess that our labors are in vain if the Lord be not with us. If you don't carry me, Lord, if you're not with us, don't carry us up. You must be with us. We can toil all night, but we need him to speak. I can't tell you how I'm relying on him right now. I need the Lord to bless his word every time. Right here, verse 5 again. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. How do we fish for men? Acknowledging we're nothing and we're completely reliant on him. And we fish for men according to his word. Simon Peter, let down your net. We're casting forth the gospel net when we stand here and open God's word and declare what it says. Declare it is finished. Christ is all. You're complete in him. Cast in the net. And you know what? God will see to it that all of his people swim into that net. Oh, all our life we've been baited and hooked. Hooked and baited. Oh, we just believed everything under the sun, didn't we? But now we've been caught by the net. The gospel net. And we don't have to wonder who caught us, do we? Fish ain't got a clue who caught him. They're just some guy. That's who most preachers are. They're just some guy. If we ever find ourselves enclosed in the gospel net, we'll know who caught us. God. We'll be so glad to be in that net. Please don't take me out. Oh, don't take me out. Let me stay right here. Let me stay in this net. Oh, please. God says, get in the net. We get in the net. He sees to it. How do we fish for men? Relying on God and God alone. According to his word, what do we preach? The word. Preach the word. Preach the word. Nothing else. And we fish for men trusting in the Lord. When Peter, right here, when the Lord came to him, first thing he said, well, we've been doing this all night. Well, but at your word, We'll do it. In his flesh, he doubted. He didn't know the Lord yet. But then right after this, that's when he says, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. That's how the Lord revealed himself to him, was by performing this miracle for him and revealing to him who he was. And that's exactly what he does through the preaching of his word. He reveals to us who he is in the person of Jesus Christ. And we know it's him. We know it's him. We declare the gospel and we wait on the Lord to bless it as he will. He will add to the church daily such as should be saved. I can't, I won't, but he will and he does. And I rejoice to know it. This gospel, this glorious gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, the Jew, the Greek, doesn't matter who we are, the power of God. He will work and who shall let it? He doesn't need me to help him, and thank God I can't hinder him. He will work. He will let it. He'll see to it. And quickly, look with me at the last chapter of the book of Acts, and I'll close. Acts chapter 28. When it comes to fishing for men, God calls men to it. He calls men to the work. He's their sufficiency. It's his work. And he will see to it that he will catch, he will draw all his people to himself. Every single one. Every fish that got in that net, God called that fish to the net. I'm sure there were a lot of fish in the sea. But every fish that God purposed to get in the net, got in the net. That's what I'm telling you. Right here, Acts 28, look at verse 24. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word, quoting Isaiah here, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Verse 28. Be it known therefore unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. What we looked at in the first verse there said, some believed and some believed not. Then he says, the salvation of God has gone out, and the Gentiles, they will hear it. That represents God's people, the Gentiles, the nothings, the nobodies, the wretches. They'll hear it. They'll receive it. They'll believe it. They'll love it. Now make no mistake. What we just read in verse 27, their heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have they closed. They can't hear, they can't see, they can't understand, and none of us can until God in his mercy comes to us like he did to those four men and speaks to us, reveals himself to us, and gives us faith in him. We'll be out living our life, whatever our occupation is, whatever we're all about, we'll be out there doing it, sinning against God with every breath that goes forth, every thought in our heart, every motive we have for everything we do, cursing God until God comes to us and says, follow me. And then nothing will ever be the same. Will we still sin? Of course we will. That's what this old man is. That's all we know how to do. But I just mentioned that he made us new creatures in Christ. New heart, new spirit. One with him. Verse 29 right here. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him. People were coming to him. Why? To hear of Christ. Verse 31 right here, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. What's your message? We preach the kingdom of God. His kingdom is not of this world. He has a heavenly kingdom. And it's going to be full of a bunch of slimy fish like us. We preach Christ crucified, the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that. With all confidence. We know there's no other message. We're absolutely convinced, persuaded of it. No man forbidding him. Pray the Lord give me that confidence. Cause me to trust him fully. I'll leave you with this. Isaiah 55:11. The Lord said this, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." God's pleased to use his word. He sends his word. He sends it on purpose. He sends it for a purpose, and it's going to accomplish that purpose that he's pleased. And he's been pleased to beget his people with the word of truth, to save us by it, give us faith in Christ. I pray the Lord might speak to us, that he might come to us and cause us to believe on him and him alone. Amen.